Welcome to the Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia. Join us as we take a look inside and outside our classrooms and connect with students, teachers, alumni, and more.
Hello, this is Brent Bell, head of school at Darlington, and welcome to Conversations by the Lakeside, a series of the Darlington Podcast. Today, I'm excited to welcome Rob Hammond, Director Emeritus of Camp Laney and former Darlington faculty member, to the podcast. Rob, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Brent. Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to talk to you, Rob. We got lots to talk about. I'm a big fan of summer camp, as I know you are, and I want to get to that. But before we do, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and went to college. What got Rob Hammond kicked off in this world?
Well, I was born and raised in LaGrange, Georgia, grades 1 through 7. And then we moved to Cartersville, where I attended Cartersville Public Schools 8 through 12. But I always considered LaGrange as my home place.
So. Okay, great. And after Cartersville, where did you go to school?
Went to Vanderbilt.
Okay. And how did you find Vanderbilt from Cartersville?
My mother was actually a graduate.
Okay.
In class of 42. And I had really planned on going to Auburn, because that's where my dad had gone, and I'd gone to Auburn football games growing up and loved it. And then my senior year, she just said, "Well, don't you even want to look at Vanderbilt?" I went, "Well, okay, I will." So we went up there and we looked at it, and one of her classmates was the registrar and showed us around. And I said, "Okay, I'll do this." So it was just she gave me that little push to go. And so. But it's a good choice.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you've been a big Vanderbilt fan for a long time, for sure.
Right.
You've carried the flag well for folks. So tell us a little bit about how you first came to know Darlington.
Well, actually, all my uncles, the Trotters from LaGrange, all came here. They boarded here. And then several of their sons boarded up here. So that's how I became familiar with Darlington. And visited my cousin Bo. We're the same class of 67, so I would come from Cartersville and visit Bo and his younger brother Perrin, and then younger cousin Billy Trotter from LaGrange was up here, and I was actually on faculty when Billy was out here, so
okay.
I'd come out here and see him.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about that experience. So we graduated from Vanderbilt, and then did you immediately get into camp education?
Did not start into camp right then. I went to law school for 3 semesters, and the camp came up for sale, and the founder, Coach Lane, I'd worked for him 8 summers, and when I found out it was for sale, I said, "Well, Coach, will you give me a shot at it?" And he said, "Well, sure." So I drove from Birmingham, I was at the Cumberland School of Law, down to Tuscaloosa, and started talking to Coach Laney about it, and was able to get it, so I was able to buy it. And, it was pretty much a 100% finance deal. So...
And the rest is history, right?
That's right.
As they say.
Yeah,
well, good.
Right.
So started in law school.
Correct.
And then somehow ended up on the faculty at Darlington and as the owner and director of Camp Laney in pretty short order after that. Tell us how you ended up at Darlington.
Well,
for
starters. It was happenstance. I was in Cartersville, and my mother, as I said, was class of 42. I was class of 71. But we got this invitation that Chancellor Hurd was going to speak at the Coosa Country Club. I have an alumni meeting. And my mother said, "Well, I have classmates in Rome." So, and I said, "Well, let's just go up there." So we went to the function at the club, and it was very nice. And I was sitting next to Mr. Von Duren, who's the president of Arlington at the time.
Right.
So we were sitting together at dinner. And, just having a conversation. He said, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm just about to start the summer, I'm going back to camp." And my mother didn't hesitate very long. She looked at him and went, "He needs a 9-month job." So he kind of laughed. And he said, "Well, do you?" I said, "Well, yes, sir." He said, "Well, we're starting a new lower school next year." And he said, "If you're interested, I want you to go see Mr. Muschamp tomorrow morning." I said, "Well, all right." So I drove up to the old middle school and met Mr. Muschamp and Herb Jones.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
got the job, and it was my first year. I taught 3 sections of 6th grade social studies.
Okay.
two of fifth grade and two of fourth grade. So that's how it started. So I'd majored in political science and history. And of course, I'd worked with kids at camp, so it wasn't too hard of a transition.
Right. So, yeah. You remember any of those first students?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Talked to a couple this weekend.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I had a great time that year. We still close to a lot of them.
Yeah. Who are some of those? Who are some of those folks?
Hank Selman, who's back in town.
Right. Okay.
And if you've met Hank, you know it was a lot of fun.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He always livened up 6B. So, and just talked to Chuck Boyles this weekend, and he was great kid, went to Georgia Tech. Just talked to him over the weekend. So, yeah, I keep up with a lot of those guys.
And those classes were on the Thornwood campus at the time?
Yes. I was in the big white building.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Come in the front door. My classroom was on the left.
Right.
And when I was hired, they said they had a place for me to live. But when I showed up at the end of the summer, they said, well, we kind of forgot.
Okay.
So, there was a spare room that used to be the reading room or something upstairs in Thornwood. So that was my apartment. It had a bathroom, a desk, and a bed.
Okay.
Nothing to cook with. But it was okay. But of course, they didn't tell me the building was haunted. I'd been in there.
Oh, goodness.
So yeah, that was kind of a surprise. And the kids were really, the students were really funny. They always asked me if I'd seen the ghost.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes?
No.
No. Okay.
But I did scare a few people.
They who didn't think you were in the building?
Yes. So
you kind of became the ghost, huh, in some ways?
Some of the old Thornwood girls came up the back fire escape, and I could hear somebody at the back door upstairs at the fire escape, so I just kind of opened it. It scared them to death. They were screaming. So, all right, girls, you're really not supposed to be here, but it's not on.
That's great. And so you taught here how many years total?
Five total.
Okay.
And last sixth grade, I taught my last sixth grade was a number of years ago, so with a great group of kids that year, too. Yeah. So.
And you all stayed in Rome for a good period of time and went back and forth between camp, which is in Mentone, Alabama, for those that don't know.
Yeah, 45-minute drive. But when my boys were old enough to begin elementary school, we bought a house here.
Okay, gotcha.
So we stayed in Rome until they graduated from Darlington.
Okay, so you sort of...
And I would go back and forth, but we got a house here.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, good. And when did your boys graduate?
Jordan, 2002. Beau, 2006.
Yeah. So they had a Rome existence and a Camp Laney existence.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. So tell us a little bit more about camp. I'm assuming you went to Camp Laney as a kid?
Yes, I was... rode a bus from LaGrange, Georgia.
Okay.
It was a month session in those days. We rode the bus, and the Laney boys and the Skyline girls from Columbus and LaGrange were on the same bus, and we all, you know, came to camp, and they delivered us up there. So that was my first experience with it. And,
do you remember how old you were?
I was 11.
Okay.
But, you know, my first summer I was a little homesick there, and I was going, I'm not sure about this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you work your way through it, and, you know, by the end of the session is the best time I'd ever had. Made a lot of friends, met people from all over. And so, yeah, so that was the start of it.
So you started at age 11, about age 24 or so, you bought the camp?
Correct.
And then... tell us about its evolution since the 1970s.
Well, the program has changed somewhat, but it was the basics like horseback riding, canoeing, swimming, sports, mm-hmm. tennis, all those are still with us. But we've added a challenge course now. We have adventure sports, mountain biking, climbing wall. So we've added those kind of things into the program.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic program's still the same. Some of the same games and things that we played back then, we still do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dodgeball game that all the Laney boys know about called Bombardment or Bombarding. So when I taught at Darlington the first year, I had the sixth grade ate together. And after the meal was over, I don't know how this started happening, but I guess I was in charge of the program. So girls and boys would go down to the gym at Thornwood and play Bombardi. Sometimes we'd go over to Sam King Field and do something, but that lunch break, we did some camp activities
at school.
That's good. That first year, we even had a Bombardi Awards banquet.
Okay.
And gave out special awards for the sneakiest player, the best arm, best catcher, meanest, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But we had a lot of fun with it.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. You'll be pleased to know that, in the upper school now, we have Rumpus Weekend, which is a big competition between all the houses.
Yeah.
And one of the premier events is not Bombardi, but it is dodgeball.
Right.
So the girls and boys play together on the same teams.
Yeah.
And highly competitive is the best way to put it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But interesting that you mentioned sneakiest player and all those different things. Dodgeball is revelatory in many, many ways.
Yes.
So.
Sixth grade girl, Jennifer Mengi, would quiet, great gal, but very quiet. But she would just kind of hang back and get to the edge. And then some really aggressive guy would come flying up there, and she'd just walk out, boom, take him out. So she won the sneakiest player award.
Excellent. That's great. So who should come to Camp Laney?
Oh, any boys age 7 to 14.
Okay.
We go from first grade through the end of eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Grade, so.
And why should a boy come to Camp Laney?
Just not Camp Laney, but I think camp overall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Great for kids. It gives them time to be on their own, become more independent. And after they do their activities, they're going to become more self-confident. They're going to meet people from all over. It's just an intense, broadening experience for them. And, of course, they come for the fun, but they get the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're actually unplugged.
Right.
For the time they're there. They're living outdoors. I mean, the cabins are just screen cabins.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just living outdoors. And, it's a beautiful spot on Lookout Mountain there. And on the banks of the Little River. So, they get away and have a great time. They can really relate with each other. No distractions.
Right. So this would be a question I think people are always curious about. Do you feel like kids are different now than they used to be? Or do you think their circumstances are different? What have you observed over the years? You mentioned unplugging, I'm sure.
Right.
Once upon a time, that had a very different definition.
Definition, yeah. They really, of course, are more aware of the world than we were.
Okay.
And boys before, before the social media,
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
internet. But when they get to camp, and like I said, they're there and they're there with each other, it's really not that much different. They still like the same activities.
Mm-hmm.
They still enjoy, everything that previous generations enjoyed.
Yeah.
And, but there, you could tell after COVID that campers and staff were a little more fragile,
mm-hmm.
more anxious. And I think we feel that's kind of passing now,
mm-hmm.
because everybody missed that year of being with each other.
Uh-huh.
They like the same things. We have a canteen in the middle of the afternoon, and when the bell rings, they all start running for it like they're not going to get it.
Right.
But that's never changed since camp started. It's still the same.
Yeah. So. Now, do you still have apples and milk?
Oh, yeah, in the morning. So, yeah, that's one of the only jobs they let me do now is hand out the snacks. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah, full disclosure, all of my boys, three boys, have been campers at Camp Laney.
Two staff members.
Yep. And maybe a third on the way if they'll take him.
Yeah.
It's been a great place for our family, so certainly... bias towards summer camp and bias towards Camp Laney, and for our boys, it's been a great experience. And I think one of the things that I've enjoyed hearing from them, both as campers and counselors, is just the level of interaction that the boys have with each other, you know, without the distractions of technology maybe and exactly. things like that, but that, you know, boys can talk all day long too.
Yes, they can.
Sometimes they just need the opportunity to take advantage of that. So, well, tell us some of your favorite places at camp.
Of course, the river. It's beautiful, and you know, I take it for granted that it's mm-hmm. down there. But the river, of course, and then we call the athletic field the center of the universe.
Right.
So
right.
That's one of my favorite spots. Mm-hmm. When I was a counselor, that's where I worked.
Okay. So, major sports.
Yeah, we call it major sports.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, any great fun stories involving any Darlington alums at camp?
Oh my goodness! I'm sure I have several
that you can share.
Oh gosh! Well, we used to have we still do have skit night,
mm-hmm.
and we did for several years. We did live Mentone wrestling.
Oh, okay.
And the program director actually worked for Mr. Muschamp down in Florida, Coach Clifford.
Okay.
And he was the bad guy.
Okay.
He was the Muscovite Marauder.
Oh.
But his nemesis was Hank Selman, Darlington, but his nickname was Pretty Boy Rick Fair.
Okay.
But it was so much fun. We'd interview the wrestlers at lunchtime before the night activity and get everybody hyped up. But of course, they'd choreograph all the moves.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun. But, and Hank's tag out buddy was Dan Paraka.
Okay.
Who was officially, his wrestling name was Injun Dan.
Okay.
But it was, those guys were great.
And yeah.
Had a lot of fun. So.
And all those guys are multi-generational, probably families too at camp,
yes,
I bet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen a lot of that.
Yes. And like, all the Crawford boys, Cooper and Madge's boys,
yep.
and all Cooper's brothers went to camp, and then all the Crawford boys now.
So right.
Kind of like you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three.
That's exciting. That's good. So you taught, you've directed a camp. Tell us about who some of your best teachers were and what made them memorable in your life.
And looking back, I think my sixth grade teacher of self-contained classroom at mm-hmm. Horrell Avenue School in LaGrange
okay.
Was Miss Conley, Eunice Conley, but she was so good, and she made you work hard, but you knew what your schedule was every day. I mean, when you walked in that room, when you got in there, you did penmanship first, which is gone
right
now, but we'd do penmanship, and then she'd start with the hard things in the morning, like you. We analyzed and diagrammed sentences every day. So grammar was not a problem after you had Miss Conley for uh-huh. a year. And she was great at math. And I just remember doing the hard things every morning. But, you know, when I got to 7th and 8th grade, it kind of made it easier
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. of the way she structured things.
And, yeah.
But she was great. And she always had a special project. We built the Temple of Diana. Everybody saved their paper towel rolls, empty rolls for the columns, and
okay.
she had a big table set up. But she always had special projects going on, and you know, had different art around the top of the room. And she'd get us to learn who the artists were, and she was just so thoughtful and well rounded,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
but a great teacher.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. How about a favorite book? You have a favorite book or a book you would recommend that you've read recently that you recommend to folks?
Well, I'm heavily into World War II. My
okay.
Mm-hmm. So there's an author, Rick Atkinson.
Okay.
The Liberation Trilogy. Mm-hmm. Kind of starts off in North Africa, and then it moves to Sicily, the second volume, Sicily in Italy. And then the third book called Guns at Last Light starts at Normandy.
Okay.
So if you hadn't read any World War II history.
Those are the ones.
Those are good. It's a good, you know, basis okay. to mm-hmm. start with. And my younger son, Bo, and I went to Normandy 2 years ago and were able to follow where my dad went. We hired a guide, and my dad was in the 2nd Armored Division.
Okay.
And landed D-Day plus three, well, not the actual day, mm-hmm. but they ended up, you know, fighting in Normandy. And I went to, the guy took us to a section of road called the D-13 between these two small French towns. And in the middle of the night of 29-30, a German column got lost and got in the middle of the 70th Armored Field Artillery. So there's a, you know, pitched battle right there mm-hmm. at night. And anyway, they obliterated the German column and got the presidential mm-hmm. unit citation for that night. But the guide was able to show me where my dad's battery was that night and show me the road where it all happened.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty impressive. Very moving experience. Yeah. Going to the cemetery at Normandy and, of course, you know, the usual going to, you know, when you go to Omaha Beach, you just can't believe that our men were able to get up the hill, mm-hmm. really. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as books, when I was growing up, I read a lot, but I remember reading To Kill a Mockingbird in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it was impactful that I didn't realize the area of the country I was growing up in, what it had been like in the 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the schools in Cartersville were not integrated my senior year, 66 and 67. So that's when integration started in Cartersville. I don't know, Rome-wise, when mm-hmm. it was probably about the same time.
Mm-hmm. Any books that you recommend for parents these days or thinking about summer camp? Is there anything in that genre?
There's a psychologist, clinical psychologist at mm-hmm. Phillips Exeter, Christopher Thurber.
Yep.
Chris Thurber.
Sure.
He trains our staff. He's, uh-huh. he's awesome. But he has a book on getting ready for summer camp, how to choose a camp.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's still on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's very good. And all right, Brent, the author, Jonathan. But anyway, he traces back to, you know, where social media really started taking effect.
On John Haidt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
John Haidt.
AIDT,
I recommend that book.
Coddling of the American Mind, and then the new one is The Distracted Generation, is that right?
The Distracted mm-hmm. Generation.
Yeah.
That's a good book.
Yeah, and boys read a lot at camp, at least some of them.
Yeah, some of them bring
and they'll get a book and read. Rest
hour, maybe before they go to bed.
Yeah, which is a cool thing as well. So that's great. So if you could have dinner with three people, who would you have dinner with?
Well, if I go history-wise, I'm a huge fan of John F. Kennedy because I saw him in the sixth grade in LaGrange.
Okay.
He was campaigning. He went to Roosevelt's little White House
mm-hmm.
and drove from, they had a motorcade from Warm Springs to LaGrange. And all, they took everybody in our school out to Vernon Road and we lined up and he came through and when I was growing up, everybody in political office was kind of old. But he wasn't.
Right.
He was my, you know,
uh-huh.
he was World War II hero. And so, and
he was relatable.
Yes. Yeah. And I can remember Miss Connolly took us, when he was inaugurated, took us to the library and we watched the inauguration in black and white. So,
okay.
So I kind of got it. So, yeah, it'd be fun to
do
that. And, mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln, I wouldn't mind having a little time mm-hmm. with that mm-hmm. one. And I guess Theodore Roosevelt would be, I don't imagine I'd get a word in, but it'd be fun to listen to him for an hour.
Get some wisdom there.
I guess my favorite, some of my favorite authors have written about presidents. Doris Kearns Goodwin wrote that Team Arrivals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was a great book. And then she wrote No Ordinary Time about Roosevelt's time. Uh-huh. In the White House during the war.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about reading history now, I don't have to take a note.
That's true.
I'm not having an exam on it. And I'm making read it again.
That's right.
I won't remember everything the first time.
That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. So there are lots of compliments that people pay you and wonderful things they say about Rob Hammond and one of the good guys in the world. One of the things that remarkable in people's when they think about you is your way to remember names. Do you have any tricks or tips that you would share with our listeners about how you are able to remember names
like
you do?
Well, it's kind of fading now, Brent. No, but
well, 1973 was a long time ago. But no, so legend has it you may be able to remember the name of every camper. I mean, that's that's how much the legend is around this.
But it's, you know, and we always stress learning them to the staff to learn campers' names. So when I was a young director, and even until I, you know, I would study the applications and the pictures. I would start that way. I mean, I worked at it. But, you know.
Why is that so important to the Camp Laney as a part of its culture? To make sure you know everybody's name?
You know, they just feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. And they feel welcome and comfortable when somebody knows their name.
Yeah.
And it's more fun for us.
right.
Yeah, if you know their name.
So. Yeah. Well, great. Well, great. This has been fun. Tell us what's next for Camp Laney. What's the kind of short and long-term future? Any big plans on the horizon?
No, I don't think we're going to do any major capital things for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. We'll just prove what we got.
Yeah.
Yeah, the younger guys will start having some ideas. We'll go with some of those, I'm sure.
Yeah. What do you think is the most popular activity at camp?
I would say the challenge course and the adventure sports.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say river and horseback, pretty close behind them. They like them.
And what is the challenge course?
Ropes course, challenge course. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, several different
elements. Elements,
and,
yeah.
And we call it the Clay McKimmy Challenge Course in memory of Clay.
Uh-huh.
So, but they get the kids... get a patch, you know, and list all the different elements they've done. And then we have a climbing wall that has a series of patches. So they, you know, they're competing against themselves. They start, and then the highest thing's a mountaineer. I think there are five different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Each route has a point value assigned to it. So if they get X number of points, they get the patch.
Yeah.
So.
They like the challenge of the challenge. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They do.
That's great. That's great. Well, great, Rob. Well, thanks so much
for
joining us on the Darlington podcast.
Yeah.
And
should I say how I got my job here?
I thought you told us.
Did I tell you?
With Gordon Bondurant, kind of.
Did I tell the whole story?
Well, I don't know what's the punchline.
Well, the next day I did go see Mr. Muschamp.
Yeah. Okay.
Never met Larry Muschamp before, and Herb Jones was there too, and so I was meeting. So I'm in Larry's office, and he goes, "Well, Mr. Hammond, what we're looking for is a man." And I just kind of went, "Well, Mr. Muschamp, I don't know what your definition is, but I think I can do that." But he said, "Oh, no, what I really mean is we need a male teacher in lower skill." I said, "Okay, that's good. That's good."
So that was it.
That was it.
That was it. That's great. Well, we appreciate your time.
Well,
appreciate your time here at Darlington, and certainly all that you've done for Rome as a director at Camp Laney, and lots of boys over lots of years have come, and from Huntsville too, where I was also at
Randolph.
And lots of counselors and campers.
Yeah, Will
from
Humphrey
there too.
Was at camp this weekend for the reunion.
Good. So. That's great. So,
but my Darlington years were great, and I wouldn't have given anything for having had that experience. It was just so much fun to keep up with so many of the families, and so if I ever move back to a town, it'll be Rome.
It will be Rome. We certainly appreciate you sending your boys here and providing them with that opportunity and
well, thank you.
And sticking around for those years as well. And so if you're ever in Mentone. Alabama, it's a great little spot, and lots of camps, and but a fun place to visit as well. And you're the mayor, so
actually, I am.
You know, you can say you know the mayor.
Yeah, don't get in trouble, but I guess I could help you. But
well, that's great. So well, thanks again, Rob.
Thanks, Brent.
We're glad you tuned into this episode of Conversations by the Lakeside. Tune in bi-weekly wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. You can check out today's show notes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.
The Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia, is a collaboration between the communication and advancement teams, and the intro music is alumni produced. See show notes and hear more episodes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.